7 minutes past 7 o'clock. It is also 10 years to the day, to the very hour, indeed to the very minute, that a syrupy voice first came over these airwaves and said, "Want to take a mind excursion? A little diversion, the hippest of all trips to reality."
And what a time it was, it was a time of innocence, a time of confidences. Long ago it must be, I have a photograph. Preserve your memories, they're all that's left you.
And there was all of this music happening, and it was a very important time for a generation to carve out an identity for itself.
I spoke with Scott on Monday night about radio at that point in time, and we mentioned that WNEW-FM in its current format did not really take the airwaves until October of 67.
Right. We are the inheritors, not the founders.
There was a station with which Scott worked at, and which several other people of renown worked at that point in time where we are in June of 67, WOR-FM, which, as I said that night, the call letters no longer exist for it. Your memories of that as a listener, because I'm sure they're very vivid.
Sure, because that was the proof that the kind of radio that I had been fooling around with at Fordham was viable on a commercial level. That was the proof of it. Okay, it happened by that accident of the FCC splitting programming on AM and FM, which you talked about the other night. But regardless of where it came from, it did bring rock programmed with intelligence to the FM band in July of 1966. July 30th, 66, OR-FM went on the air. And I was at once delighted and angered. Delighted because this was living proof that it could be, and angered because I said to myself, I could do that. I want to do that. And at a time in your life when you don't know whether or not you are going to achieve your goal or not, it does produce certain anxieties. I should say, though, this is something I haven't talked about in years, and I don't even think a handful of people are aware of it, but I worked at WOR-FM for 3 days.
Mm.
Not on the air.
Mm-hmm.
It was a job computing and compiling their College Hall of Fame. Do you remember?
Sure.
They ran for colleges in the tri-state area a popularity contest. They wanted to see all prior surveys like that always ended up with Tonight Tonight and In the Still of the Night as number one and number two. They put together a poll drawing mainly from this new audience that had grown up around the new rock, and the winner of that poll was Satisfaction by the Stones. And it was myself and a friend of mine, Bob Hughes, who spent the 3 days going through the postcards with graph paper and number two pencils, figuring all of that out.
Certainly, too, that was a most important time, as we alluded to earlier, for college radio. Both you and I and Vin Skelsa and Richard Neer are products of college radio.
No question, Dennis. There are as many stories about the beginnings of progressive rock radio as there are people in it. The West Coast people point to Tom Donahue as the granddaddy of it. The East Coast people point to WOR-FM. I say that all of those people who had the upbringing that I did, who got to their colleges, who were indelibly marked by Elvis and the Beatles and found two turntables, a microphone, and a record library, were experimenting with new forms for radio. There is no one source of where this came from. It was the melding of all of the influences out of which it finally sprang. And let me emphasize the delight part. of WOR-FM. It did, after all, bring Scott Muni back to New York radio, and Scott was an important part of my listening ears. And when I think of that radio station, I think of a small number of certain pieces of music that I will forever in my life associate with that time and that radio station. They all stand out in their own unique way, but none stands out more than this one.
Sit yourself down and think of what you'd like to do today. Then take a look around, and if the sky kind of looks a little gray, just take a look on the train. Put your cares on, stop running. Coming when you
take a mind excursion and see just a slight diversion. You can take a mind excursion and see.
I remember Sunday morning, I would meet him at the park. We'd walk together hand in hand till it was almost dark.
Sunday will never be the same. Sunday will never be the same.
In the event of something happening to me, there is something I would like you all to see. It's just a photograph of someone that I knew. Have you seen my wife, Mr. Jones? Do you know what it's like on the outside? Don't go talking too loud, you'll cause a landslide, Mr. Jones.
Boy, remember when that record first came out and everyone said, if you listen real, you can hear Paul in the background, I know that. They were compared to certainly the Beatles at that point in time, and that was a most unusual, a New York mining disaster, 1941. Whew, what a weird record. The Bee Gees before that, Spanky and Our Gang, Sunday Will Never Be the Same, and God bless them, the old Trade Winds, and Mind Excursion. 102.7 WNAWFM, Reflections Part 4, as we look back over the 10 years, and a couple of years before that too, the 10th anniversary of WNAWFM. How'd you get to work here?
I ask myself that very often.
Mm-hmm.
And I do believe that it is an accident. I really think it's an accident. As I tell people whenever I am asked, careers in radio or anything depend on several factors. Among those are a modicum of talent, certainly a hell-bent determination, but more than both of those, lightning striking. A chance, an opportunity. Now, you've covered some of this. ORFM dropped the ball in October of 1967 to the point where they lost one of the best air staffs that had ever been gathered at a radio station. And one of those people was the gentleman around whom this radio station was constructed in a very real sense. His name was Bill Mercer, better known as Roscoe. Roscoe quit ORFM on the air on a Monday night in October of 67. I was teaching high school at that time. Had something to do with a war in Southeast Asia. I'm not too clear on it this far along, but needless to say, I thought it would make an interesting radio show to find out from Roscoe what had gone wrong, and I invited him up to my show at FUV to explain his reasons. As it was told to me, unbeknownst to both of us, the management at WNEW-FM was considering picking up the standard from WOR-FM and carrying it ahead. And we got a lot of press coverage that Roscoe was going to be on the air to explain his notorious on-the-air resignation. And among the people listening to see how he would handle a delicate subject like that were the members of management at WNEW-FM. They accomplished what they set out to, which was to hear Roscoe, but they also heard the kid. As a result, 1 week after Roscoe started, I was called in for an audition on Election Day 1967. And I blew it. I blew it. I played records at the wrong speed and talked about an octave higher and received a very nice letter from the program director at that time saying, "You're a fine young man. Keep doing what you're doing. Don't call us. We'll call you." And I thought it was all over, that chances like that come once and never come again. And so I was rather depressed about it for a good long while, but true to his word, in the summer of 1969, I got a phone call from that very same program director who put it quite simply. Someone was sick, someone was on vacation, someone had been let go, they needed a body to cover a couple of overnights, and would I be available? "I'll be there yesterday," is what I think I told him. And that is how it came to pass.
Do you remember how you felt that that opening night?
Remember how I felt? I'll do better than that, Dennis. Do you know the theory that once radio waves are broadcast, that like when you drop a rock into a still pool of water, the rings, the waves go out and out and out to infinity? And with radio waves, it's supposedly the same thing, and they're all out there in space, and that someday, when we least expect it, they might return to us, and we'll be able to share those moments again. Well, let us use this very special and powerful medium right now. Let us call upon anybody who is listening to this frequency to think real hard about somewhere around midnight, on July 25th, 26th, 1969.
Well, that's it. Gotta go. Stay tuned for a very pleasant surprise. Pete Fornatel, following the news over WNEW-FM, New York. Until tomorrow night, this is Roscoe. Remember, I sure love you so. Good luck, Pete.
You're listening to WNEW-FM, Metro Media Stereo in New York. This is Pete Fornatel for Allison Steele until 5:30 this morning, and these are the Rolling Stones.
Together and Citadel. This is Dennis Elsis. My guest tonight, Pete Fornatel, will continue in just a moment over WNEW-FM in New York.
102.7 WNEW-FM. Okay, that takes care of the commercials.
You call those commercials?
Yeah.
That's the sorriest excuse for commercials.
Well, wait a minute. Don't knock these products.
No.
Everything we've talked about, this is class stuff.
They're fine stuff. I'm not arguing that point, but I'm arguing the point of quality commercials that say something to an audience, and I'll give you an example of commercials.
Woodstock Music and Art Fair, the three-day Aquarian Exposition at White Lake in the town of Bethel, Sullivan County, New York. Friday, August 15th, you'll hear and see Joan Baez, Arlo Guthrie, Tim Hardin, Richie Havens, the Incredible String Band, Ravi Shankar, Sweetwater. Then on Saturday, August 16th, it's Canned Heat, Creedence Clearwater, Grateful Dead, Keith Hartley, Janis Joplin, the Jefferson Airplane, Mountain, Santana, and The Who, the hottest group on the scene right now. Sunday, August 17th, the band, Jeff Beck, Blood, Sweat, and Tears, Iron Butterfly, Joe Cocker, Crosby, Stills, and Nash, Jimi Hendrix, The Moody Blues, Johnny Winter, and that's not all. Tickets are available by mail or at your local ticket agency for any one day at $7, 2 days at $14, and for all 3 days, just $18. A special two-day ticket is available by mail only for $13. For tickets and information, you can write the Woodstock Music and Art Fair, Box 996, Radio City Station, New York 10019, or phone Murray Hill 70700, MU70700. Remember, the Woodstock Music and Art Fair is being held at White Lake in the town of Bethel, Sullivan County, New York. They've had their hassles, but it looks like everything's going to be okay.
Palisades has the rides, Palisades has the fun. Come on over. Shows and dancing are free, so's the parking, so gee. Come on over. Palisades from coast to coast, where a dime buys the most. Palisades Amusement Park swings all day and after dark. Ride the coaster, get cool in the waves in the pool, you'll have fun. So come on over.
Palisades Amusement Park.
Now Palisades is easier to reach than ever. Take the new Saturday and Sunday public service bus number 898 from the 41st Street and 8th Avenue bus terminal to Edgewater. There's free shuttle service from the Edgewater terminal to and from Palisades Amusement Park. So come on over.
Well, I suppose we ought to explain things a little bit just so that no one gets too confused.
I can explain it in a sentence.
All right.
Fantasy Park lives.
Oh, Lord, that's right. We may pass this entire week and not once mention the July 4th. Now, when did we do that?
2 years ago.
July 4th, 2 years ago. Fantasy Park. Oh, Lord. Well, we won't get into that. For those who heard it, they remember it. And for those who didn't, good luck to you. What you heard there was a commercial initially for the Woodstock Festival. Let me please state for the record and for the fact that there is to be no festival as best we know, and that phone number and post office box and all that other stuff that Pete gave on that tape, which is how many years old now?
8 years ago. Who knew? I mean, that was literally one of the first. You see, I came from non-commercial radio.
Mm-hmm.
So that first hour of my first show was like culture shock. But what saves it for me now is that one of the first live spots that I ever did here was that for Woodstock.
Right, okay. So just, you know, the phone number and the address do not exist and are not related to the concert.
Right, and if you're thinking of going to Palisades this weekend, good luck.
Right, but that commercial, the Palisades Park commercial, we all had it on, didn't matter what radio station you work for.
Even this, I mean, we literally did Palisades spots in 69.
Yeah,
sure.
Everybody did, and it was the place to go. The singer on that jingle that we played for is a man named Steve Clayton, and the song Palisades Park we heard in two versions from Freddie Cannon and the Beach Boys, a song written by Chuck Barris, much better known as the creator of The Dating Game, The Newlywed Game, The Gong Show, and current host of The Daytime Gong Show. This is Dennis Elsis at WNAW-FM. My guest tonight on Reflections is Pete Fornatale. There have obviously been changes in the sound of the music over the last 10 years. There's no doubt about that. And there's been a change in some of the people on the air, but for the most part, most of them are still here. I mean, this radio station has an incredibly high degree of stability. Is there anything else in terms of the sound of the station that strikes you as vastly different?
Oh, no question about it. In fact, I lifted up a rock and found beneath it something that will startle our newer listeners and probably nudge the memory banks of a few of those who have been with us for the long haul. But Dennis, do you remember that this radio station once used jingles?
To hear those jingles again, huh? They faded away. I joined in summer of 71.
They were gone, yes.
They were gone by then. And, you know, I was just thinking, the transitional point when you switched from from part-timer to morning man to midday man. Dates there for us, just to fill in the blanks?
Sure. I filled in, which meant that if somebody wasn't sick or on vacation, I was unemployed for months at a time, from July of 69 until July 13th, 1970, when I started the morning show, for a little less than a year, until April 19th, 71, when I switched to 10 to 2, and a half a dozen years have flown since then.
Wow. Mamas and Papas, California Dreaming, from which they adapted one of the jingles. Real, honest to goodness, nice jingles, though. They didn't sound bad at all. A little old, but they sounded kind of nice.
Maybe we'll talk to Scott about it.
Here we go, jingle time. Mamas and Papas, California Dreaming, and WNEW-FM, the Buffalo Springfield, for what it's worth. 102.7, this is Dennis Elsis with Pete Fornital as we close up this program of reflections at WNEW-FM. Every night I have to say this, but it just flies by. I'm sure you're amazed.
Ooh, absolutely.
Ralph Edwards, where is he? This is your life.
Well, in a sense, that's fair. And I'll tell you why it's fair. I listened the last three nights to Scott and Allison and Dave, and I plan to listen to the next two as well. And I listened to Scott talk about making a transition from singles rock and roll to album rock and roll. And I heard Allison talk about coming from the all-woman format to progressive rock music. And I heard Dave speak about an awakening of consciousness as far as the music is concerned. These were all broadcasting professionals who very nicely made the transition to what this radio station was all about. If I have any claim to fame here at all, it is that I think I was the first person from the ranks of the audience to come up off the street and sit in front of the microphone as a product of the music and as a product of the culture. That's the way it has been ever since those days, as you pointed out earlier. I literally grew up at WNEW-FM. If you need any proof of that, all you have to do is glance at the month of August 1977 on our 10th anniversary calendar. All of those different people that I see when I look at that page were products of the times and of the music and more than anything, of the radio. And lastly, I have to commend you for an excellent job these last three nights. There is no question about it that we are your tools for the purposes of this program, and I can't think of anyone on the staff or in the industry who could have done it better.
Thank you.
Now I am older, I sing for my living, I live for my moment, I know it will come. And if I have touched you or made you remember a moment from somewhere, then my job is done.
And that is the way it was on May 5th, 1977. When I guested on the Dennis Elsis show that week of reflections we did. I hope you enjoyed that, and I hope it whetted your appetite for the week ahead here, beginning tomorrow morning right through Friday, as we celebrate the official 10th anniversary of WNEW-FM Metro Media Stereo in New York. Allison Steele in next after the 8 o'clock news. This is Pete Fornital. I'll be back tomorrow morning at 10 with surprises all week long. Have a pleasant evening.
It'd have been long ago. Understand if you will. We are brothers and children, are we? We must make them see what I